If you've walked with God for any length of time at all, there's something that you've discovered. Following the Lord is not a straight and easy path. There are unexpected challenges and surprises along the way. We're going to look at an example of that today from the Old Testament story of Elijah. His experience reminds us that even as God is using us, He's also preparing us for what's ahead. This lesson is called Surprised by Ravens and a Resurrection.
Have you ever thought about the fact that a lighthouse has never once stopped a storm or even kept a storm from arriving? Now, it's designed to provide light when storms come. And the darker the storm, the more desperately needed is that lighthouse. Our spiritually dark world today is in desperate need of the light of God's Word. And let me tell you, our generation isn't the first to need a bright light. I want to take you back to a time when Satan's kingdom of darkness seemed to have the upper hand. From their capital city of Samaria, a wicked king by the name of Ahab and his equally wicked wife Jezebel are leading the 10 tribes of Israel to abandon God and follow after this false god, Baal. Baal is worshipped as the god who brings the rain, supposedly producing the bounty of their crops. But God graciously raises up a lighthouse. It's a prophet by the name of Elijah, and he's going to deliver the word of God to King Ahab. Now, here in 1 Kings chapter 17, Elijah just sort of suddenly appears on the scene. He's not introduced in any way. He says to King Ahab here in verse 1, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years, except by my word." Now, you notice there isn't any discussion, there isn't any debate. Elijah tells King Ahab, "Well, you just sit there and learn the lesson that Baal doesn't send the rain. God does." Well, you can imagine wicked King Ahab and his wife Jezebel aren't going to be very happy with Elijah here. So the Lord gives Elijah some specific instructions here in verse 3. "Depart from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. You shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." Now, this secluded spot, this is not only going to protect Elijah's life, at least for the moment, but it's going to develop Elijah's faith in his future ministry. See, this brook is going to give him the water he needs, but the Lord, did you notice, is going to send ravens to bring him his supper. Now, ravens don't typically share their food, so this is miraculous provision. And Elijah obeys. Verse 5 tells us he went and did according to the word of the Lord. By the way, this is a great example of following God's word, even when you don't understand it. This delivery food system is going to be a daily reminder to Elijah that God is in control of his creation. He can even use the birds to accomplish his work. Now imagine this faith-developing curriculum as Elijah's trust in the Lord is deepened. Well, as God finishes this portion of Elijah's training, God now allows this brook to naturally dry up due to the drought. And Elijah is now ready to enter a new classroom, and God directs him to it here in verse 9, saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow there to feed you." Now, don't miss this. Elijah's been in hiding. To go out in public is dangerous. And this widow, frankly, would be the last person you'd ever go to for help during a famine. I want to make one more observation. This verse tells us the woman is living in Zarephath. That just so happens to be Jezebel's hometown. Elijah cannot expect here a very warm welcome. Now, once again, the Lord is developing the faith of his prophet. Now, when Elijah first meets this widow and asks her for some water and a piece of bread, she tells him here in verse 12, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Beloved, I frankly think that Elijah would have chosen to die of hunger himself than ask this poor widow for her last piece of bread, which he just did. But again, he's following the Lord's instructions, which doesn't make a lot of sense at the moment. Elijah promises her that if she will share with him what little she has left, he receives a promise evidently from God and now from God through him to her. Here's what's going to happen, verse 14. "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty, until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth." Wow, imagine this promise. No more trips to the grocery store, no begging from friends and neighbors. Just believe the word of the prophet, give him your last piece of bread. By the way, she's never met the prophet. Give him your last meal. And she does. That's amazing. She does. And here in verse 16, we're told, "The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah." By the way, the Lord doesn't suddenly, miraculously fill all her cupboards and her basement with sacks of flour and jars of oil. No, the implication here in this text is that he produces flour and oil each day as it's needed. So get this. Every meal is her last meal. Her last meal. Unless the Lord keeps his word. And of course, the Lord does. Now, what Elijah learned from the Lord's daily provision through these ravens, and this woman is now learning from a daily miracle of provision. It's a good reminder for you and me today. We need to depend on God one day at a time. In fact, isn't that what Jesus taught his disciples when he instructed them to pray? Give us this day our daily bread, one day at a time. Now, there's something surprising that happens next here in verse 18. We're told that this widow's son becomes ill and suddenly dies. Now her faith is severely tested, if not wounded. She says to Elijah here, "What have you against me, O man of God? You've come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son." You know what she's thinking? Just like we often do. We believe that some tragedy is the result of our sin and that God, he's going to now take out his revenge on us. Well, Elijah doesn't argue with her. He doesn't defend himself. He doesn't even defend God. He simply takes her son up to the room where he's been staying, and he begins a rather urgent prayer meeting. Verse 20 tells us he cried out to the Lord, "O Lord, my God, have you brought calamity even upon the widow with whom I sojourn by killing her son?" Then he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried to the Lord, "O Lord, my God, let this child's life come into him again." And the Lord listened to the voice of Elijah, and the life of the child came into him again, and he revived. The death of this boy becomes God's way of revealing even more about his power than this widow, even Elijah, had ever witnessed before. They weren't expecting this. It's also the final step in preparing Elijah for what's coming next. He's about to stand and stand alone. He's about to risk his life in confronting King Ahab and Jezebel and hundreds of pagan prophets of Baal. So let's be reminded today that the tests we face in life are designed by God to deepen our faith. God isn't interested in destroying us, but in developing us so that we grow in our understanding of his character. We deepen our own commitment to his purposes and our own trust in his provision. If you're going through a difficult time today and God isn't explaining himself, well, get ready. God may very well be preparing you for some future encounter, some future service. just might surprise you. It will bring God even greater glory. Well, until our next wisdom journey, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey in a lesson called Surprised by Ravens and a Resurrection. Stephen is continuing to teach you through the entire Bible, Genesis through Revelation, as we travel this wisdom journey. We're glad you listened today, but we want you to know that there's a video version of the wisdom journey as well. If you subscribe to the Wisdom International YouTube channel, you'll receive a new video each weekday as Stephen teaches through this wisdom journey. See you next time.